Welcome to Serial Podcast 9.
Beers. Going on.
I'm not drinking beer.
Eating vegan food.
Most of those are true. I didn't have a beer because I have cold medicine in me. And apparently it's really hard on your liver to drink while you have cold medicine.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
That's not what DJ Screw would say.
Who's that?
What?
DJ Screw? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll Google it later. By later, I mean now.
Do you know Chopped and Screwed music? It comes from DJ Screw and his Houston mixtapes. They were on gray tapes. Yeah, they would take songs and slow them down and chop and screw it. And they would drink lean, which is prescription cough syrup, which contains
promethazine.
Codeine and promethazine. And you basically like get super fucked up and act like it's like everything slowed down.
Right.
And that's why they listen to that slow down music. But yeah, super hard on your liver, and he died from drinking too much.
Drinking too much lean. I knew what lean was. I knew that. I did watch A History of Hip Hop, and I think it did talk about that a bit. Well, here we are. Let's do the intro. Hey.
Bum, 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 bum.
I'm Gerard DiPeralta.
And I'm Kevin Peterson.
And I'm Ryan Benoit, and this is Serial Podcast 9.
Podcast 9.
9.
Wow, look at that. That could be our new intro.
We got vocals.
We
should just sing a whole song. Yeah, exactly.
We should write a theme song.
The Serial 9 Commandments.
Oh, man. Mr. T? Did Mr. T have his commandments?
I don't know. Did he?
Yeah, he had the T commandments.
I feel like Mr. T was like a little bit before me. Like, you know, I know him. Even the A-Team, you know, the A-Team was before me.
A-Team, bro. A-Team is bomb, man. I love it when the A-Team comes together.
Yeah, the A-Team is pretty dope. Mr. T had the T commandments, and, you know, it was like, stay in school, don't do drugs, and the rest is up. It was a rap song, kind of, but not really, like in the way that Mr. T would do a rap song.
Yeah.
In the same way that years later, Macho Man Randy Savage would do a whole rap album where one of the songs is just him telling Hulk Hogan to fight him. Anyway.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it's the best. I love it. It's great. Hey, what's going on in your guys' world?
Just getting ready for a very active summer of events and engagements for Serial 9. Lots of car transformations and business transformations.
Gerard is working on cars all the time now, apparently.
That's really exciting.
Sort of.
That's part of the life of being a car guy. Welcome back to it, Gerard. You've been you've been a chicken coop farmer for a while now. It's time to become a car guy.
Hey, Gerard, how was your day?
The day started out okay. I was on time to leave. I got Bella to daycare about 10 minutes after opening, which is pretty good. You know, driving my car, I get pretty sketched out every day. But today I was like, you know what? Fuck it. If I see a cop, I'm not going to give a shit. I saw a bunch of cops, didn't give a shit. Cop drove by. I was like, I'm probably going to be behind him. It is what it is. And then I wasn't behind him. And then at the light, I looked at behind my rear view and I'm like, oh, there's a cop like two cars behind me to my left, fully just like looking at my car. It's like, whatever, fuck it. And I was like, had to pull into this gas station. So I pulled into the gas station, and right outside the gas station, a cop had pulled over a guy. And I was like, oh, well, parked basically like right beside him. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. If he comes over. Come back, he's gone. I'm like, all right, cool. And then drive to work. I'm like, probably 3/4 of the way to work, and my clutch pedal falls to the floor. I'm like, oh shit, because this has happened once before where the pedal falls to the floor, and I reach down and I pull it up, and then everything sort of starts working again. This time it definitely did not start working again, and my master cylinder was fucked because I look down and there's fluid dripping everywhere. I pull up the pedal, I push it again, and it squirts fluid all over my shoes and my fucking carpet, and I was like, oh shit. And so luckily I was able to kind of tuck into the left turn lane at this one spot, and then I called Kevin. I said, hey man, like, probably gonna need a tow, this and that, if But I was like, man, I'm literally one light away from the highway. I could probably just get on the highway and like make it if I don't have to stop again. If I can start the car in first, get it driving, I'm making it, right? So sure enough, you know, traffic clears a bit. Start the car in first gear. It manages to get going, grab second, grab third. I'm going up the hill because there's a big hill there. Make it to the top of 176. I'm like, fucking, please turn green. Please turn green. Please turn green. And then so sure enough, I'm like creeping. I'm downshifting. I'm all the way down into first gear, like just idling, like 50 feet away from the light. And I'm thinking, man, I'm going to have to stop. I'm going to have to stop. And I had to stop. And then sure enough, there's still.
Should have just ran it, buddy.
I mean, there's like, it's a huge intersection, that Golden.
Yeah, I know. I know where you were.
and also there were cars in front of me, so I would have fully had to like around the cars and like do some crazy move.
Yeah.
Just like turn right into traffic and shit, like keep driving. Anyway, yeah, so I had to GTA stop. GTA
level shit.
And because it had already started in first the first time, I thought, okay, like I just got to do it one more time. No problem. Man, sure enough, there's like just enough of a hill that it just wouldn't start in first gear because I guess it like couldn't get the car going fast enough.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I tried.
Gone right and busted a U really quickly.
Yeah, but I was like already in the left. And all these things, whatever.
I know. I'm just talking shit.
And then I was like, you know what? I could do it. I could sacrifice the trans a little bit. I'm just going to like rev it and like try to get the RPMs to drop down to like 300 or 400 RPM and just smash it into first gear. Like I've done that before, like on this old Civic that I had, just like huck it into first gear and just goes kunk. And yeah. Then you just start going, right? And I couldn't do it. Like maybe I just had like too much mechanical empathy. So physically, like I couldn't like, I couldn't like just smash it into gear, but so I had to call a tow truck. Called one tow truck because this friend of a friend was like, hey, yeah, like if sick car, like if you ever need a tow, call me. So sure enough, I call him and he's like, well, you're in that car that I saw you in. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, I can't tow that. I'm like, why the fuck would you tell me to call you?
And he's lonely.
Yeah. And I called a regular tow guy. He didn't answer. And then I was maybe gonna call another guy, but I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna call fucking Clover Towing. They're right here. Sure enough, man, they were there in 30 minutes. The guy was awesome, loaded the car like super carefully, super dope. And, you know, like I wasn't really out of commission for that
like
long.
It wasn't that bad, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no damage at all to the car, whatever. But the only shitty part was, yeah, I wasted more than half the day fixing the car so that I could drive it home because that was like.
It also certainly wasn't the price of someone that like we know, you know?
No, it was definitely. A pretty sizable tow bill. Yeah, I don't really know why it was so much because like it wasn't far at all. But I just like was like, man, like the time saved and also like the car's not fucked up. Like it could have been $300 and the car was fucked, or it could have been $100 and the car was fucked up. You know, like the
would still cost more than $300. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So I was like, you know, $300, like grin and bear it. It is what it is. It sucks, but like, anyways, car's fixed. Added the ethanol sensor, so we're going to do some dyno tuning on E85 with the 409R. And then time to move on to the 509R. Yeah.
And now, because we're talking about repairs, where is the BMW at?
Well, the BMW it wasn't the cat, so that was cool. I just basically spent a bunch of time hollowing out the cat, pulling the intake manifold, checking the DISA valves to see if they were just lodged in the fucking intake somewhere. None of those problems whatsoever. Fired the car up, open headers, still has the exact same problem as when we started. And then I try to diagnose it, Neil tried to diagnose it, can't figure it out. Brought in Carrick, who's like an ex BMW tech, and he definitely fucking cleared up a few things or like put my mind at ease on some of the things. We're gonna try Vano solenoid. And discovered the car has a tune on it or some sort of
aftermarket chip.
Device. Yeah, like some sort of aftermarket. Like
he said, basically, like the intake, like variable intake was working properly, but the variable exhaust was like reading, like wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, it's locked in like a weird negative position, and nothing he could do would change that position. So it's probably not a great position to be in, but I don't know if that's causing misfires. But anyways, he drove it. He took photos. He captured some live data, took some photos of it. Kind of knows what's going on, kind of doesn't. But I mean, I'm happy it's probably not injectors. It's probably not coils. I don't think it has a dead cylinder. It's just some sort of weird thing that we just got to figure out. On a good note, it actually doesn't sound that bad. Like I thought, like I was absolutely just about to kill myself because it sounded so horrible and I couldn't even fucking drive it after we got to the cats. But once it warms up, it actually sounds pretty cool. It's definitely louder, but it's not obnoxiously loud, nor does it sound obnoxious.
It's a little just after farty. I heard it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel that's your opinion. And like, you're probably just trying to sell it to yourself a bit.
No, but no, I would
Ryan
absolutely.
Ryan and I have both heard it, and it doesn't sound good.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also relative. You guys basically only like the sound of Jay-Z, so like,
oh, that's not
you
true. Know what
I
mean?
I don't know.
Name three other engines that you think sound amazing.
I like SRs, I think.
Oh, well, I mean, that's also subjective. Like,
yeah,
you can like you an ask. SR. Then. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great. That some SRs sound good.
But some RBs sound okay, I guess. I don't
RBs
know.
Sound fucking sick. So
yeah, I'm down with the. I'm certainly down with the RB25.
I will say this. Whenever I see that BMW, Gerard, it gives me anxiety and I have to leave the room. Whenever I see you work, I'll like show up at the shop and you'll be out there and you'll show me something. And I'm just like, I can't be around this. It like it makes me nervous and I have to leave. It's just always something with that goddamn thing. It's like the first time it was cute. The second time I was like, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, if it was my only car, I'd be in a lot of shit right now. But if it's luckily, I have the luxury of being forced to drive my 350 wheel horse 6-speed Jay-Z wagon.
Yeah.
Oh no, so terrible.
Oh, yeah,
no.
Justin and I were saying that the other day. We're like, man, imagine 10 years ago if like you told Gerard that like he'd be complaining about driving that car. You know what I mean? Like you'd be like, no, man, like. My life will be complete when I have that car. Like, everything will be set. AC topped up today. You know what I mean? Like,
it doesn't work.
What?
It doesn't fucking work.
Mine works champ.
Yeah, but, I mean, your car's also stock.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine's some, like, fucking butchered Frankenstein GX pile of shit that I made into, like, a pseudo-cool car. It's like...
It's still cooler than my car.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I also have these permanent... fucking lights on the dash that like every day I get in they're like, hey, your fucking oil pressure's low, hey, your fucking brakes are not working,
just
hey,
take the bulb out.
It's not a bulb, man, it's a fucking circuit board.
Yeah, but you
don't think I would have taken the bulb out if I could take in the bulb out?
Put a sticker like, over it.
Like, I'm not like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, put a sticker over it.
I mean, I guess yeah, you could. I mean, that like does that look better, like a piece of black fucking tape or something?
Yeah, that's what Homer does. Oh, the check engine light's on. Let me fix that.
Oh, yeah. Totally like Homer. No, it's like on the circuit board, I have to like figure out which LED it is on the backside and then just like chop out or desolder the fucking diode or whatever the hell it is. But like maybe if I just get another cluster and do that, that'd be fine. But like I'm not like going to try that on my only cluster. You know what I mean? I could live with
it. Sounds like a lot of effort, yeah, for
yeah.
That. I mean, you drive a BMW. You should be used to all the lights.
A BMW has no lights except for like.
A BMW is not really running, so I mean, it was, you know, I don't know. Anyway, it's fine.
Yo, let's talk about your ride height. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
My ride height stinks.
No, I'm not doing much better over here, so.
It took the spacers out of the front of the Blit, and I can actually get full lock with absolutely no rubbing. It honestly changed the driving characteristics of the car like fucking 35% better. Like it would always rub before, and like I looked at it when I went in there, it was like rubbing on like the bumper, the front part of the bumper. It was rubbing everywhere because it was so like tight to the fender. It looked sick, but like it was so impractical. So now I just took out the 7mm spacer or whatever the hell it was, and it's like infinitely more calm to drive.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, I got one more for you because we're on the Girard fleet of cars.
The Cresta?
Well, that, or I could ask you about the truck. So, but we'll go with the Cresta. We'll do the one.
The Cresta I did work on it Sunday. The fuel line is sorted out. I pulled the injectors to get them cleaned. I mounted the catch cans. I made a list of all the fittings and items that I need to sort of finish off the power steering. And the other thing, I connected two coolant lines, like the coolant lines that go from the engine to the car. Those are connected. Need a couple of clamps, but I'm sure I can find those somewhere. I'm sure they're probably on the stock clamp, on the stock hoses. I don't even know where the stock hoses are for that fucking car. Shit, that's what I should have used. Yeah, I got to buy some rad hoses. I got to buy that stupid plug that Koyo has in their fucking radiator. I guess it was maybe in my stock one. I don't know where the hell it is, but I got to buy that plug because I don't have it. Ordered a head gasket. Sorry?
Well, I just said, oh, that's weird. I would think they would always be with it.
With the radiator that you bought?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you would also think it comes with a fucking cap, but apparently
I mean, yeah, no, that I somewhat can understand. Somewhat. But like, yeah, no, just the take plug, the fucking plug. Take the plug out of the rad we have for the G35.
Does it have one of those, though? So not all of them have it.
Oh, really?
Because I guess it's for, like, some sensor or some shit. And maybe my car, because it was a non-turbo, maybe it didn't have that sensor. So I don't actually know. So
yeah.
Right, anyways, that's for as far as cooling system goes. I need an upper rad hose, lower rad hose, that plug, and then a cap. I think we have a cap. So I'm going to wire the fuel pumps sometime this, probably on Friday or some shit. And then we'll see when you can get those injectors back. The power steering will be plumbed by the weekend. I bought a bunch of like maintenance parts, like intake manifold gaskets. I bought a new head gasket because I just in case. I've also bought a head gasket for the Blit because it's seemingly compromised. So yeah, we're just sort of juggling which car is not broken.
Great. So real circus act. Well, that's great.
But also then that subframe is back. The subframe is chrome, so it's cool. And then it's a little bit of a job to switch all that, but I do have all the
chrome
parts.
Buddy. Chrome.
I just gotta
Messaged and asked me if is it like chrome powder coat or chrome plated or chrome
powder coat. It's called super chrome too.
Chrome powder coat. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's what we all figured, but I wasn't sure. That was a message that I got when I posted my picture that Kevin disapproved of, which is fine.
I didn't disapprove of your picture.
Fucking capture.
I disapproved.
Oh, you two relax.
Silly Disney run world.
Yeah, I mean, that's look, I was free association, and when I looked at it, I thought of the big giant crab, Tamatoa from Moana singing Shiny, and that's what I went with. That's how that works. You just look at a thing and you go with it. You know?
I'm glad. No, I mean, you know, we're all different, and, you know, we're all special in our unique way.
We're all hitting different demographics.
And that just happens to be us. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's me. Okay, great. Great. I will say, because
you're a real 9-year-old girl, demographic.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Yeah. I haven't had a chance to say this. I was going to say, Gerard, when I changed the brakes on the Prius, I thought you were very helpful and you were very much, it was like, I think you'd be really good at teaching people how to do things. And maybe that's why those videos work when you give tutorials. So you did a good job. You were super patient. Backstory. I've never really changed brakes on any of my cars. Whenever I go to do it, someone else just does it for me, and I end up standing there watching them. And so I did it, and it was really funny because the other Serial 9 employees would walk by and be like, what are you doing? I'm like, changing my brakes. And I'm like, still? I'm like, yeah, I'm figuring it out. But anyway, it was great to do that at the shop and actually use power tools and understand how much easier it can be. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was saying to Kevin, I was like, man, I have no idea how you expected to do that at your garage. There's no way it would have been done in like 3 days. Like not a chance. Like you didn't have any tools. Like you didn't have any.
Yeah, I had.
You didn't have any like instruction besides like what a shitty YouTube video or something.
Yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't have. There would have been some mistakes made, and I would have had to go back. Yeah, I mean, that's also part of the reason why I don't like working on cars is I don't have any tools. Everything makes it way harder than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's so it's like I knew this is why you're poo-pooing on the tool episode, because you don't have any tools.
The importance of them.
Exactly. But now it feels like maybe you're a little bit into it. You're like, oh yeah, I got to use the power tools. Yeah, man, I was using the Milwaukee. I was like, yo, this is sick. Like,
it was sick. But it's also like I said, after that episode, whenever I go to Home Depot, I walk by the power tools and it's like Marty McFly looking at the Toyota pickup truck being like, one day you will be mine. But then it's like, do I really need that?
It feels like no homeowner really needs like a bunch of Milwaukee anything. But
yeah, you know? But I want.
Does any non-race car driver need a fucking, you know, 911? GT3, you know?
Exactly. I don't know. Every time I drive home now, though, there's always Porsches up and down my street, and I'm always a little bit envious.
Well, you live You live on the main street, you know?
Yeah, I do live on the main street.
Why are there Porsches on your street? Because all of a sudden
I don't know.
Discovered Porsches and they're just like buying them up.
Or there's interesting places to go on the main street.
So
it's not
interesting. People go to the interesting places.
Yeah, people of taste come to where I live.
The world's most interesting man drives a Toyota Prius.
Yeah. although I thought we were gonna have a conversation, and I thought honestly, Gerard, with all the stuff that you have to do on your two cars, I thought you were gonna be a little bit more disheartened. And last time we spoke, you were like, oh, if I could lease, I looked into leasing a new car.
I was telling Kevin today, it's a bit of a double-edged sword because I've had to work on these cars a lot lately. And while obviously I do always feel super kind of guilty after because it's like not totally business related and shit, I really do enjoy working on cars. I really, really enjoy it. I feel like it's something I'm quite good at, and it's very satisfying because it's like it's just instant gratification, you know, like you like even like for example, I swapped those, I did the knuckles on the Blit when you did the brakes, and like I had to do all the fucking like brake shoe stuff, I had to do the arms, I had to do the fucking studs, like it was like a decent amount of work, but I banged that out in like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours or some shit, and like didn't miss a single bolt or spring or nut. Everything was accounted for. I just like, you know what I mean, methodically sort of just did it. And kind of the same thing with the master cylinder today, because I run a Honda master cylinder, so it's not exactly like a straight bolt in. I had to like drill and tap a fucking hole on the master cylinder and like, you know, change out the rod and all sorts of stuff. But yeah, it went pretty smoothly. The master cylinder change itself, even with the slight hiccup, was I don't know, about an hour and a half maybe, and then the rest of it was fucking 2 hours. The rest of this shit, but yeah, and then even the Beamer, man, like I did, yeah, like had the whole intake manifold off and all that stuff, and then, you know, it sat there like that for a while, and then that day I was like, fuck, I gotta put this back. Kevin had gone to get like a subframe or some shit, and I was like, man, I just gotta put this thing back together, and like hopefully this fixes it. And then I just like banged it together in like an hour. Unfortunately, it didn't fix it, but it's nice for me. It's really nice to be like instantly gratified. A lot of things are not like that today for me. So,
oh well, that's a nice takeaway.
Especially when you drive a car after, like the Blit, for example. Like even the other day, we struggled with like trying to fucking change some aspect of the tune. Because my laptop absolutely will not connect to my ECU, so that was a pain in the fucking ass, hour and a half worth of like trying to get the goddamn ECU or the laptop to connect to the ECU. In the end, I just used someone else's computer and changed the parameter. It was a small parameter, but it made like a pretty big difference for driving and drivability. And yeah, it's that whole thing of like when you're forced to drive this car and you have to get it done and you have to get all these, you know, like things finished so you can drive home. Like it's pretty cool. You do a thing, you drive it home, you notice a difference. It's great. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, you're like, all right, like I will spend the 45 minutes or whatever extra to like do it because I like you have to, or, you know.
Yeah. It's like an excuse to work on cars, but at the same time, it is. Product testing.
Go on.
When I changed those rear brakes and the lines, it was a huge difference. Like amazing, amazing difference. Like they feel amazing. So
amazing. Are they amazing?
They're not amazing yet because I didn't change the front brake lines. What the hard fuck? Lines.
All right.
Like they're really great.
Only the rear brakes are amazing.
Previously they were shit.
I can feel how amazing the rear brakes specifically are.
Well, they just feel okay. Different. I went from GX brakes. To regular
to brakes. Proper, yeah.
Yeah.
Like turbo brakes. Yeah.
Yeah. And nice. Then hard lines, or not hard lines, braided lines. So shout out to APP.
All right.
Nice stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you know me.
That's funny, buddy.
All right. Hey, I'm out here just drinking orange juice, hitting dingers. Hey, do you want to talk more about working on cars? Or do you want to hear some questions that we got from listeners?
Well, let's talk about Kevin's car real quick. Car, the Crown.
Oh, you want to talk about the Crown?
I don't know. You talk about the Crown.
What do you want? Yeah, what do you want to talk about? I don't know. There's nothing that exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Do you know what's super exciting? I thought the insurance expired on the 27th, which is 4 days from today, I believe. It actually expires tomorrow.
Oh.
So yeah, I guess I'm gonna just take it off the road and start driving the fire truck because it seems like I can.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Seems like I can. So that's kind of cool. And then, yeah, what else? Oh, so yeah, I don't know. With the Crown, I have just so much stuff to do to the engine. I have a whole subframe that I could put in, which I might as well. I have a bunch of scratch and dent arms, like everything I could put. I could put everything we make into that car. Short knuckles. And then, yeah, I have the Link ECU, intercooler, yeah, injectors, fuel rail. I still need to get, like, a pump. Yeah. And then, yeah, just the 509, Spectrum 509, Serial 9, 509 turbo with our manifold. And then do the exhaust. Yeah, I don't know. That part feels all easy. And yeah, that it's funny because that feels very easy, whereas the part that I'm struggling with is like
fenders.
Yeah, like I feel like I have enough confidence in like getting an Ulterior Motives or whatever brand you may have steel flare and like doing the work required to put it on and like look pretty good, especially like with Gerard and Dustin looking over my shoulder and doing and manipulating the stock metal into a shape. I don't have the skill or the confidence in, you know what I mean? Confidence is part skill or whatever. Skill is part confidence, which honestly, that was sort of what I want. The flare, the ideal flare vision for the car in my mind doesn't fit the tire probably required for the car that's getting built though. But I also, like, every time I see a Crown with big flares, I just really don't like it. So, I don't know. I'm struggling with that. We don't really have a guy to paint. So, if I can just leave the body stock, I can just, you know, then it's a lot closer. But, yeah, doing all of the body work and finding someone to paint it who you don't really know. And, like, then, you know, then you're not really getting any sort of deal. So, painting, even when you are getting a deal, is not a cheap thing. But yeah, like the engine mods, the ECU, the subframe, the short knuckles, the everything else, that just seems like 2 weekends or something, you know? I don't know, like 1 weekend, like, but
the easy also, peasy stuff.
Yeah. And then also basically that means I also need to figure out a non-aggressive but cool looking still wheel to fit on my stock body car. How much camber are you going to put on? Like, is the wheel going to be super cool and have 8 degrees of camber and not drift that well? Or is it going to have like 4 degrees of camber and the wheel isn't as cool but the car might actually drive pretty decent. Now you're buying wheels that aren't even that sick just to drive on them for an event or two or something until you can actually do the car and the fenders how you want it and paint it the color you want it. You know, it feels like I'm rushing two builds right now, too, because we have Weekfest in 18 days. And like my arms aren't finished machining, let alone shipped, let alone anodized. So it's like, am I going to build that whole car with raw aluminum arms for the show and then take it all back apart and anodize them? And then, I mean, it is what it is, and that's totally feasible, but it's just I'm doing that while also building the 17, just feeling a bit overwhelmed with all the activities that we've planned out for ourselves, you know? But
yeah, you're telling me, buddy. I mean, there is sort of, for me, there's a bit of like, I don't know, like when I worked on the Cresta the other day, I actually did get quite a bit like more excited about it. I was like actually really stoked. I was like, oh man, like this thing's going to be kind of dope. Like, especially when we brought it outside and like, I was like, whoa, like this car's like kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I'm like pretty excited to kind of get it going. But yeah, the motor has.
It feels like this, those little things though too. Like you put the seat in, when you put the driver's seat in and you kind of like,
yeah, man,
you get to like sit in the car and like, you know, then you're like, even like, I don't even know, just probably got the stock wheel in it, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, like, but you know what I mean? Like, now you're sitting in the thing holding the stock wheel, you know, you're like,
yeah,
imagining what it's going to be like and shit. Yeah, it's dope when you like get those like little things off the list, you know?
For sure, man. But also, yeah, like, I don't know, like, I think I've kind of like started liking the Blit a bit more lately because like the Varianza has really changed it for me as far as like the look. And it's sort of one of those things where it's like, I've always wanted that car. And then when I had the car, I'm kind of like, meh, I like it's all right, you know? But then having my old wheels on a car that I genuinely kind of always wanted, I was kind of like, well, maybe you should just sort of step back and like look at this thing and just enjoy it. And like, like I spent so I many like, fucking I feel hours like that's like
fully a relationship right there. It's like, you're like, yo, man, like, I always wanted this. And you're like, you know, you're like, blah, blah, blah. Like you're in the honeymoon stage. And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, you know what? Like maybe there's some things that I was overlooking and it's not that great. Yeah. And then you're just like, you know what? Like, actually, like I put a lot of work into this and like, I'm just going to enjoy like being with this car. Like,
man, you know, like I fucking every square inch of that car is sound end, like by me, like separately than stock. You know what I mean? Like every fucking door.
Sounds heavy, buddy. Like,
no, it's not. It was about, I think it was about like 35 pounds. Yeah, like the whole hatch area, both sides in the hatch. Like I had that fucking entire car apart. It's, you know, wired for amps and sounds. And it has a stereo. Like, you know, it's not like the fucking greatest stereo, but it's certainly better than the goddamn shit that that car came with. You know what I mean? And like, if once I get that Alteza rack in there, though, it's going to be quite a bit better. Because that, like, the stock rack right now with the play, it's really killing the vibe of the, you know, everything else on the car is like tight, tight, nice. And like, you know, feels like it could shred. And then I got this like.
Just take the rack out of the car on the rack, on the shipping container.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. Didn't even think of that.
Because I also bought one on Drift Week.
Do you think the Alteza rack is faster than the Crown rack?
I don't really think so, personally. But, I mean, you would be the one to know.
Yeah, I never driven them back-to-back stock. I just remember the Crown steering to be kind of like whatever.
But with the knuckles, it's... Yeah, like with the knuckles, it's pretty decent. Yeah.
I mean, with the knuckles, it just changes whatever was there before.
Like yeah, no, but I'm like, I'm saying like I don't like notice like a drastic difference between the two cars.
Yeah, I mean I definitely notice your Crown is faster than my car, which obviously makes sense. The GX has the slowest rack, which cool, buy a GX, you know. But yeah, if I could switch that rack out, that would be another sort of like game changer for the driving.
There is also the one that I bought for Drift Week because I still have mine because it in the end it was the like heat shield on the U bracket that was like crumpled in a specific way.
How did you even buy that? Where did you buy it from? Or we bought it when you were away?
When I was away, I was talking to Eric and he was like, "Yo, my buddy's parting out an Alteza or was like." I'm like, well, let me know if he has the rack. He got it to Jake, and then they shipped it, and then DHL shipped it out like 30, like it arrived like 36 hours late. So we ended up just like abandoning it. I like called DHL and like bitched at them, and they like gave us all our money back for the whole shipment.
Yeah, I mean, if that one's already out and stuff, I'd love to just put that one.
It's literally sitting in the shipping room.
Oh, that'd be
in the same box.
I packed it.
But I kind of wanted to keep it in that box because I was like, yo, this is perfect spare.
Oh, okay. Well,
like, yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, whatever.
The funny thing is I'll have to re-butcher my fucking power steering lines to go to like a
different
rack. You know, Jay-Z rack, because I had to like butcher my Jay-Z lines to go to my GX rack. Anyways, what are these questions, man?
Oh, good. Here we are. Hey, let's take some questions that people have written in.
Let's take them out. Take them in.
Take them out. First one. So Riaz sent in, because he was in Disneyland, and I was talking to him about Disneyland.
Yay.
Anyway, and I was surprised he didn't go to Universal, because that's where they have the Harry Potter stuff. Right, Riaz and Jerry are both big Harry Potter fans, so I thought that was important. And he said, no, decided to go to Disney. And then he realized halfway through talking to me in private messages that I'm very into Star Wars. And I was like, oh, that's probably never come up on the podcast that I really, really like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, sounds like an episode of Personal Interests Are in Order, which I don't think is true. I don't ever want to do a podcast where I talk about that.
Do it.
Those are the things that I talk about with Kevin when he gets really bored on long road trips. And he's like, tell me everything I need to know about. And then like, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I feel like I'm into that though, too. Probably not as into it as you are, but.
This was the question that came of it, because he has a vanity plate that is tied to a thing that he's really into, which is tied to Harry Potter. It is, if you were to pick a vanity plate that best describes your favorite thing, what would it be? Both of you choose a vanity plate.
Mine would be SLFSH. Selfish.
You have a shellfish allergy?
He loves shellfish.
SL.
Mine would be WLHNG. Because I'm a huge William Hung fan.
No, mine would be SDNKNG. Sudan King.
Oh, that's good.
No, like a personal thing?
Yeah, do that. If you have to take, because it's like, yeah, mine would be Dota Logic, which apparently someone in California has a Dota Logic vanity plate.
How do you have that many letters?
I don't know. They sent it to me. Maybe it was like missing something, but like
it's DDOLGQ.
Dota Logic.
My whole identity is car, so like that's impossible for me.
Yeah, it would say car one, and then the other one would say car two.
That's probably like already taken. Sorry, bro.
Or serial 9-1, serial 9-2.
That would be pretty cool if all your plates were serial 9 with a number. That's like the Ghostbuster, so that's why
that is pretty sick.
I kind of always.
And then like the Porsche would be serial 911.
Oh.
Or serial 997 or serial 992 or, you know what I mean? Serial GT3. Yeah. How many GT3 RS license plates do you think got requested? It's only a douche that buys that car would be like, I want a license plate that says 911 GT3 RS. Like, okay, buddy. Like,
I mean, as if that's pretty chill.
It doesn't say that already on the car. That's like when you have a car and it says, like Ferrari on the fucking window banner, and it's a Ferrari. You know what I mean? Like, thanks, Tips. Like, I didn't know that was a fucking Ferrari.
Maybe you didn't.
Yeah, because
it's for the six-year-old in you.
And then bro gets out, and he's wearing a Ferrari jacket with Ferrari shoes.
That's the Ducati guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I always kind of toyed the idea of having a vanity plate, but I could never get past the thing is like, if I were ever to be in like a situation where a cop would need to like sort of like scope my plate quickly, that he could get it. Like, I feel like a vanity plate is much easier to sort of
remember and see,
and recognize than a random bunch of fucking numbers. Like, they're obviously quite good at doing that anyways, but like, if it literally says serial 9, that's gonna be pretty fucking easy.
I feel like this day and age, though, they just have the fucking radar scanner thing on the top. But I always wanted one that was like a bunch of V's and W's, like VVW, WVW, you know what I mean? Like, it's or like one I or yeah, zero, yeah, exactly. 00000 or something. Yeah. Somewhere it's like very similar letters in like a very hard to read pattern, you know? I was like, that would be hilarious vanity plate.
I feel like Jack has his is like that on his Corolla. Yeah. It's M and N's all together. So like that That's cool. That's so it's one. Super hard to read.
I have no idea what it'd be actually besides serial 9. That's the only
What things do you like aside from cars? I think is what
Yo, could you get a vanity plate that's just like 3 and then 3 as if it were the regular or you know what I mean?
The plate itself is different.
The plate itself. You know, yeah. The plate itself. But that's it's somebody has probably that combination, you know what I mean? Like you just get the exact same combination as another plate on another car you have, you know? Like
yeah. That's funny.
Okay. Outside of cars, you have no other interest. Kevin, you could put beer.
No, I'm completely.
It feels like that's a reason to get pulled shallow. Over.
It is. It is a reason to get pulled over.
Like, I feel like you're making an identity of whatever you put on there.
Yeah. You are, for sure. You're saying something about you, and you want people to know something about. And I, like, look. More power to people that have vanity plates if that's what they want. I remember back in the
random shit. Like Boulder or like Viper or something. You know what I mean? Just a random ass.
Well, Viper
there's one in my neighborhood that's 4x4 guy. And it's on like the worst truck. It was like on a Chevy Avalanche for a while. Now I swear it's on a Mazda Protege.
Oh, God.
Like it's literally just the guy's plate and he like. He seems like he flips cars a bit, and it's just always on.
4x4 guy?
Stupidest car, yeah.
Mine would say 3 kids.
I like having Boulder for some reason.
Right? Yeah.
But like hard, Viper.
Rock hard.
Viper's like kind of cool, you know?
Viper, well, like Viper. Someone with a Viper has that one, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
White that rock. One's a bit misleading. White Rock.
You might as well just say squash.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll get a plate that says Lego.
Or it'll say
cats.
NVRSLP. Never sleep.
What is that? Never sleep. Okay.
Never sleep.
It takes me a while to like catch up with all the things, and originally I thought you spelt never please, and I was like, oh, he just doesn't like to say please.
He's real rude.
Yeah, he's real rude. Why don't you just make it real rude? Okay, great. Yeah, vanity plates are tricky because obviously they've always been an option. Mm-hmm. I remember back in the day, my brother was always like thought that would be a mod when he was a teenager. He was like, and I'm gonna get the, you know, and he was like, and then he just never did it because I think he was like, oh, I'll spend money on other things.
But
I think it's fine when people do it. It's you know, if they want to have that and live that life. I don't know what I would do. If I had to tie it to a thing that I liked, if it had to be something nerdy and it had
what's
to be Star Wars related.
What's your favorite vehicle in Star Wars? Speeder? Obviously not.
I don't know. I love
that Gerard tried to make
a connection
to something that you're interested in. You know what
I mean? I know. You did. That was very nice, Gerard.
But I mean, and, like, because at least, no, I mean, no, at least
the
Star
speeder
Wars
bike
has,
is sick. No, but like, Ryan hates because it's a motorcycle-esque vehicle. You could get injured on it. There's not a cage around you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying, like at least there's like cool vehicle-esque things in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, there's tons.
As opposed to like, Harry Potter, where it's like, there it's are, like if you're
in a room.
Yeah,
the flying car.
You'd call it the Nimbus 2000. Like, that's it's not quite, you know, the same as like the X19.
Yeah.
Wing, whatever the hell. I don't know what.
You were close, man. You put a 9 in there. X-Wings are my favorite.
Yeah.
There's a lot of numbers. There's a lot of
that's
numbers.
That's not like the. That's not a terrible license plate. but I'm sure it's taken.
What, X-Men?
No, I'd put Red 5 or like Red 2 or something like that.
Yeah. See, I mean, like, that's kind of cool because, like, it's like a bit, like, not ominous, but like it's a bit.
Gotta know. Red 5.
Like, even Nagini, like, I never really knew what that was until, like, my entire Harry Potter obsessed family, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know what that is. I thought it was just like his nickname or something.
But then it's a Slytherin thing. I think, I don't know. Red, I would use the call codes of either Luke Skywalker or Wedge Antilles is what I would do.
Well, there you go.
So Red 5 or Red 2. And then eventually they become Rogue Squadron. But I don't
know. I mean, that's actually like a pretty cool license plate, man. Like Red 2. Like that's, I think that's kind of sick. I'd yeah. fucking rock that. I don't even know what it means, but it's like I wouldn't be opposed to Red 2 as opposed to like.
I put like R2QT.
Oh man, there's a Tesla on my block occasionally and then in my underground parkade, and I mean to take a photo of it all the time. Yeah. It's vinyl wrapped as R2D2.
Yeah.
And then it has like some fucking weird vanity plate that also drives home the fact that it's an R2 unit. Like, in case you didn't get that this Tesla loves Star Wars. I mean,
they're making their whole, that's what the whole vanity plate thing is. It's
yeah. And it's like R2 something else. And I was like, oh my God, every time. And I'm like, I love this shit. Like, I love Star Wars. But even that's too much for me. Get that out of here.
Yeah.
Also, Elon Musk would be the Empire. He wouldn't have a, he's not fucking R2D2. Anyway.
Yeah. I remember when I saw a Tesla with the license plate of all gas. And I thought, that guy must think he's so fucking cool getting that plate. Lol gas.
I know, but
it's very meme-y.
Yeah.
But he probably just saw it on a forum or on like a Facebook group that he's on with Teslas and was like Teslas, rushed.
Yeah.
And
no, rushed. Nobody has it yet. But that's what I'm saying. Ooh, he must
I got the fucking lol gas. Check this out, guys. You know, posted it on the forum. He's like, oh, look at me. Like, that was my stock fucking Tesla. Like,
I swear I've seen one that was U-gas.
U-gas?
Yeah.
Because lol gas is taken, bro.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. Okay, that was an easy one. Now
that was a softball one, eh?
That was a softball question.
The fucking curveball.
Okay, I'll do the actual question. I got a correction as well, which I think is good.
I love corrections.
Now we're doing the Seth Meyers bit. Okay. It's not even really a correction, but I will say it. So it says, hey, man, I was listening to the new podcast this morning and not sure if you guys heard by now, but I read Up Garage had everything priced so high when they opened so that they wouldn't run out of stock as their next container wasn't coming for a bit. So they priced everything high so people wouldn't buy it. This is what this person had heard. Now, I don't know. That was out there. I didn't fact check it. I'm just putting that across the plate. You were two businessmen. I am not. Is this a move? You're like, oh, we want to have a showroom, but not move product? Like, is that?
I mean, 100% that would be a no for me to do that move. That seems like the most counterintuitive. Like, you run out of stock, but at least you've established the fact that you're a viable source to get the goddamn parts. Because all you've done now is basically made a giant mockery of yourself on your opening day. Like, no, that's not in my opinion, is it a good move?
Okay. That's how I kind of felt, but then I was like, hey, man, I don't fucking know anything about nothing. So
I will say I don't think it, you know, I could somewhat understand the logic if that was their thinking. To Gerard's point, they still, you know, they still have established themselves as a reputable place to buy those things. If you have a ton of money to burn, you know.
Yeah,
I also agree. Like, hey, if you run out of stock, that's perhaps not the worst thing. You know, that's showing that there's interest and demand.
It's but like one a
thing,
lineup.
One thing what I will say, though, is it becoming a meme or whatever, everybody in the entire automotive world knew that Up Garage opened up a California fucking shop. So, like, you know, that was infinite advertising. Infinity advertising.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that was the strategy.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to say that's what it was by any means. I'm just saying
that. Strategy, I think that was pretty good. But if it was just happenstance, maybe not, you know?
I guarantee it was happenstance. But yeah,
I guess they did get to go fairly viral over something, right? Like that
was pretty viral in the car world at the time.
Yeah. And if you have thick enough skin to weather it, people do now know that it exists. And so maybe they will know that it's there to go look at it. And, you know, like, good press will only take you so far. Nobody wants to really sit around and talk about, like, oh, man, they really hit it out of the park on that event. No complaints, no criticisms. As a person who, like, used to write articles and reviews of things, I can tell you the more you were critical of stuff or leaned into it, being like critical of some things, people liked it more. Like those were the ones that usually they were more clicky. People would engage with that stuff.
Yeah, people love to see someone fail or love to, you know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
You probably have five people sharing a video of you doing something successful and like 15 people sharing a video of you fucking up, you know? Maybe that just means it was a fuck up.
Fair enough.
I wasn't, you know, wasn't there. Don't know. Maybe those $7,000 TEs, four bolt TEs aren't even there anymore.
Okay, I got another question.
Okay.
All right, from Andrew Schmidt. Schmidt. Okay, pod cue. The local scene, drifting, is growing at an extreme speed right now. Big part and due to the amount of events that are going on. Yeah. Will we get to see Serial 9 at some of these events? I won't even bother to ask you to take pics or video after hearing comments about a not 100% perfect car on the last pod. But it would be nice to get some laps with Serial 9 boys, the S9 boys.
Yeah.
So I'm already excused from it. My presence has been.
I really want to. There's a track that has been revitalized a little bit for drifting, and it's called Agassiz Speedway. And I'd really like to go out there again because Gerard and I drifted there together. Mm-hmm. Man, like, feels like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That might not even be an exaggeration.
Yeah, no, straight up.
Well, it might have been 2012, you know, or no, because it was when I had the Corolla.
Mm-hmm.
And like I started building the X7, I think in 2009. So maybe it was 2007. So yeah, not quite 20 years, but
not
pretty,
quite 20 years.
Pretty darn close. Yeah, and they just paved the infield, and it has a bunch of interesting layouts now. Yeah, so like I'm like, man, it would be fun to drive that again. And those events, I would really like to go to one this year. The Alteza's been up in the air for, this will be its third month, not even at Serial 9. I knew that car could just sit there, sit out of the way, sit somewhere in some stored area, and allow us to make bigger moves with the company and work on other things. So that was sort of what's been happening with the Alteza. But I do have an event coming up, so it is going to be coming back down and into the shop pretty soon. And yeah, I'd like to drive Agassiz this year. Unfortunately, though, I don't know, unfortunately, but we are driving Final Bout, which is a huge thing for us. It's completely across the continent. In a different country, it's a huge endeavor to get the vehicles there and get ourselves there for that. So it feels like we're not really going to be doing too many local events this year. I know Gerard would like to get some practice in before Final Bout, though, so that maybe he will be driving Mission a bit.
Yeah, I mean, if that 100's finished, it's going to the track. Like, mechanically, if it's finished, it's going to the track. It doesn't matter what it looks like, doesn't matter anything. It just needs some tires and it's going to the track.
I will go to the track if either of you go to the track. So that's, you know, I understand that I've been excused from having to be there to, because I have made my stance very heavy about not taking pictures or
apparently they also had Tuner Bash that last weekend, and apparently it was pretty good. I saw some videos. It looked much better organized.
Organizing.
I felt like you were thrown under the bus a bit. Like they didn't really know the safety protocols that what needed to be done. And like this time they had like concrete K-rails, it looked like, brought in, and they had like the regular drifting, but it also looked like they had like sort of like a sideshowy skid pad type area where the people could stand right up against the K rail and like
crazy
the cars would come in and like do whatever. But then they also had the like drifting on the tracky type stuff. I don't know. Talked to a couple of drivers and they said it was a really good event. They were like really, yeah. That event last year like was huge, in my opinion, compared to any other type event. So like, yeah, those, you know, those driven guys kind of, I mean, they've been putting on events across Canada for five, six years now. Driven this year is at the same place right by the shop. So I was like, I seem to remember being like, oh, I'd go to that. And oh, but it's the same day as the Villains team event, which is July 15th. Right. So I'm going to that. So I like, I mean, I was like, I don't know, maybe someone could drive one of our cars from the shop to there. Like, I don't know.
Well, see, isn't that the weekend after Weekfest?
Yep.
Weekfest.
Yes, isn't it?
July, June is Weekfest, isn't it?
Yeah, wasn't that what I said? June
16th. Oh, I thought you said July.
When is this driven show?
June 15th, the weekend after Weekfest. Weekfest. Oh. Sorry.
All right. Yeah, we'll see. We shall see.
But that's the thing. It's like I'm supposed to be going to Villains to drift that weekend, and then apparently the Ridge event is
the following weekend.
The Ridge event is August 24th and 25th, and then we get on the plane, the three of us, August 27th. If the Alteza ends up going to Final Bout, which is not the plan, then I'm certainly not going to that event. Because the car will already be shipping, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're all making me fucking nervous now, buddy.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. Just like all this shit trying to get done. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of for me is like the backup car is the Blit. So.
The backup car for me is Alteza.
I've also never drifted the Blit. But I mean, I know I can drift the Blit at Final Bout. Like, it is what it is.
I just don't want to drift the Alteza because I drifted it there. But it would be almost like a perfect round circle. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's not even true. I don't know. There's, you know, the Alteza might go to Japan, so who knows?
What were we talking about? We were talking about meats driven. Oh, tuner
bash. Oh, like, yeah, man, Mad Carpaccio, prosciutto. Man, I love it.
It's like, what?
Dude, meats are the best.
I thought you said bruschetta for some reason. I don't know what's wrong with me. Bruschetta? Not me.
Yeah, what did you eat at your vegan food truck?
Who wants to buy my MAEs? My MAEs are on sale. 18 by 10, 18 by 11, plus 6, plus 16 or something like that. So just buy them. They're really good condition. They look sick. And if you like MAEs, buy mine. They're already done. I think it's like a 4.5-inch lip on the front, a 5 on the back. I'm not sure, but you should buy them because they're dope. So buy my MAE.
Sick. They're silver face.
Yep. Silver they face, polished lip.
Nice center caps with new gel caps.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great.
No bends.
Yeah, no scratches. Bends. Well, I mean, there was that one rear wheel that got debeated, so.
Yeah.
Not on the face. The faces are
no. When you have 10 degrees of camber, the outer lips are always fine.
You mean the inner lips? Yeah, the inner lips are always fucked. The outer lips are fine.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's how those are for sale.
I want to say I was worried that if I didn't drink a beer and do the podcast, I wouldn't beyond my best game, and I really thought I could do it, and now I feel like I'm not on my best game. No. Kevin's asking me a question, and Jordan's just like, I'm selling wheels, and I'm just going with it. Sometimes you gotta wrangle, you know? Otherwise,
yeah, you need to wrangle shit.
Yeah.
All right. Fuck me.
I've never seen you wear cowboy jeans.
Hey, I got another question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ready? It's how many kind licks of off is the it back.
Get the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop?
Yeah, that was what our boy Meekzilla wrote in and asked. How did you know? No. Mikey wrote in. Well, then he lied to you. That wasn't the question. Podcast question.
Mm-hmm.
Will Serial 9 partner up with BCDA?
Oh, there's a lot of BCDA.
To do a sanctioned event. I thought it was interesting because there's a lot of local people that want to see Serial 9 around, in and around things. Like, there's an outcry. And by an outcry, I mean two. But, I mean, that's got to be...
I mean, that's got to be representative of the culture and the feeling as a whole.
Yeah. It can't just be two people.
No.
No, not at all. But I do think
But I mean, if two people are speaking up about it, that means 200 are thinking of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 200 people are at the track being like, we're Serial 9.
I wish there was a pink Alteza and, like, a white Aristo.
Wagon. Yeah.
Or a white Blit or a white JZX100 Cresta.
Yeah. Any white car.
Any white car driven by a Filipino Serial 9 owner.
That doesn't answer a question, though. You also said that when
the mechanical is done, that Cresta is going to the track no matter what.
Yeah, 100%.
And so that sounds like it's going to be white.
Yeah, it's going to be white and multicolored. But yeah, no, it's going to be white.
I'm just giving you shit.
We need to answer the question. Would Serial 9...
Can you use the question in a sentence?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Will Serial 9 partner up with BCDA to do a sanctioned event?
That's honestly a good idea. We should do a sanctioned
event.
We are committed to many things this summer. Like I said previously, we're going to final.
Yeah, rewind that. Play it back.
We're going to final bout in September or late August. It's a lot of money to get there. It's a lot of money to get the cars there. The cars we're planning on taking there both aren't done. Ideally, in an ideal world, the cars that we're planning on taking there are both visually different and painted by then. You know, there's a lot of things that we're trying to do in the meantime. And unfortunately, I think that doesn't really leave a lot of time for events. It'd be cool to have a Serial 9 Drift Gala, but the Serial 9 Drift Gala is literally Serial 9 Day is less than a week after we get back from Final Bout. I just don't see how much local drifting or even, unfortunately, like local events. I was talking to Jake about trying to have a garage sale, Serial 9 Day garage sale.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would have to be on the 7th, which I think would be the Saturday after we get back.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do have a bunch of like scratch and dent type stuff that we, you know, could sell at a very hefty discount to people who would come to the shop on that day, wherever you're from. I just wasn't sure. Yeah, it wouldn't be really be a car show. It'd just be maybe like an open house. Selling that stuff, you know, depending, you know, maybe have a barbecue, but like not like the whole block party that we've had before. But it's not set in stone, but yeah, it might be cool.
It's cool, maybe.
Yeah. That sounds like a great idea. Gerard, do you have thoughts on having a joint? Now, this is just like that's a pipe dream. I don't think Mikey speaks for BCDA, and nor do I imagine.
That would be sick, though. I do think that would be sick if we could have an event that we sort of sponsored where it's just like maybe we got to pick the cars or something like that where, you know what I mean? It's just like, all right, it's basically the Drift Gala, but like the only way to like actually have an event these days, I think, is with partnering with the BCDA, because I don't think you can directly go to either of the tracks that drifting is happening at right now without going through the BCDA.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah, I have nothing negative to say about them at all, though.
I'm not opposed to that. I just legit can't fathom anything past what's actually happening right now. It's just too much.
Yeah.
My focus is not on drifting. My focus is on making money. So maybe when I'm a bit more comfortable, or maybe the business is more comfortable, I can sort of take a step back and be like, oh, drifting looks so fun. I'm going to go drifting all the time. But like right now, the drifting that I'm trying to do is to like promote the company and like promote my, because I only basically can get out, let's say, of the house, if you want to call it, you know, like X amount of times per year. So it's like, I don't know if I can commit to all these like smaller events. Whereas like this year, because we have Final Boat, I can't, and I don't even really have a drift car finished. Like if I had the Aristo, I'd be drifting way more because it'd be easy. I'd just be like, okay, I put the car on the fucking trailer, which I don't have. If I had a trailer and I had the Aristo, the drifting would become
and a lot free easier. Time. And Yo, free time. Don't forget free time.
I guess I could just drive the car because I mean, if it was just mission, I would just drive the Aristo, which I have done before.
If my aunt had wheels, she'd be a bicycle.
But but yeah, like if I don't even have a drift car, drifting becomes very difficult for me to even think about. And then, you know, yeah, basically, like I have to get all this other shit done before I can think about anything else.
Yeah,
but I think
that's I'll say this right now, though. Also, you know, if you want to like drive the Alteza at any events or whatever, like it's there. So.
I mean, I'd be stoked to do that. That'd be sick.
It's like it obviously isn't the same, but it's something.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know. I mean, yeah, I was even trying to just build that fucking basic ass like G35 just so I could get some fucking seat time. If I had a car that was just like hop in, drive it to the event, or like trailer it to the event, go to the event, don't have to worry about it. I don't have to like. It's just right now, like my daily's fucked up, my second daily's fucked up, my third car's not even built. My truck's fucked up. Like I literally just like drifting locally right now. I don't even give a fuck. You know what I mean? I just want to go home, see my family, come back and like battle the daily again the next day. Like, you know, like which battle am I going to pick for that day?
You could take that as sounding negative, but yeah, like I don't really think that that's what it was, where you're just like, yo, I just have, yeah, like I barely have a car that fucking runs to get me to work. Yeah. Like I'm dealing with, yeah, like I have fucking three kids. I got all of this other shit on the go. I'm trying to take a car that isn't even fucking built, that I've never driven across the country in like 4 months.
And I haven't even driven in fucking 4 years. So like, it's been 4 years. I should be getting out there and getting on the track. But like, because I build all these stupid fucking cars, like.
Well, I mean, appearance is very important to you.
Yeah. Exactly. And like, I just care about that right now. Like if I cared about seat time as much as I say I do, I should just have a drift car that I go to drift events with and just drift the fucking car. Maybe if I had a bit more seat time, I would just drift my street car. But like,
Also like one other thing that we talked about and, you know, like, you know, is what it is like the video. Anyway, the videos of you working on the car are twice as good as the videos of us going to drift events, or like, you know, get twice as many views. So
yeah,
it's almost better to just build the car than to use the car.
With the exception of Kevin's last drift video, that one keeps on going, but that is fine. That is maybe the exception and not the rule.
Yes, yes. Not the rule. So like 10 drift videos that we made together.
Yeah, no, especially like, yeah, Drift Week. Nobody cared about Drift Week. Not here to talk about that. Yeah. I will say this, because I'm not affiliated with the business and I don't have to. I can cut it out if it's not kosher. I'll say it, then you can correct me. I struggle to actually see a line of revenue generated from you guys doing a joint venture with BCDA. Like you running your own events or doing a sanctioned event with a drift thing, I struggle to see a direct line of revenue or then even like a runoff line of revenue I guess, is my thought. Other than it being some type of form of advertising. But, yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like the ROI on you guys putting the time and the effort into doing a joint.
I mean, honestly, though, if you're taking pictures of our cars, that's content, man.
And honestly, yeah. I also feel that, like, with the two previous or whatever Drift Gala events that we ran, like, and the fact that, yeah, there literally are people cold calling us, asking if we're, like, going to run events or have an event, kind of means that there is the enough interest in certain people,
yes,
coming to a Serial 9 styled or type event.
As long as what I'm saying is, like, as long as there is a way that you can make it be lucrative for the business, because, like, I think during the pandemic it was good publicity and a good way to get content and do stuff, and that was good. But maybe going in and just doing, like, a joint event, because, like, even at that point you're not probably gonna start to, what are you getting a take on the gate? Are you getting a take on the entrance fees? Like, anyway, I don't know. Just curious.
Yeah, I mean, I have no clue. You're right. They've never reached out to us. We've never reached out to them.
Mm-hmm. Not even sure if it's a real thing. The two people in the world have just wondered. One wondered if you would come drive there, and the other one said maybe it would be a cool idea. Now,
well, I mean, honestly, the BCDA does have a bunch of, like, they have a grassroots competition with, like, the prizes. This year are, like, healthy prizes, man. I think, like, Velino, or sorry, which is the Canadian one? Velino or Zestino?
Zestino.
So, yeah, Zestino's on. I think there's, like, I think you get, like, a free pair of tires for first. There's basically prizes for first, second, and third. Some, like, cash prizes included. And there's, like, six events. They have a grassroots series, no cage. Like, it's Cedric is like, yo, man, like, I'm going to go enter this. There's only a tire size limit, I think. They were like, yo, you should try and get some, like, U.S. drivers to come up and, like, compete in this series. But, like, I know it's always a bit harder to get U.S. people into Canada because, like, a lot of them don't have passports or, like, you know what I mean? It is what it is. It's like, I sort of get it. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah, also, that'd be super cool for the BCDA if it became, like, a draw for people to, like, come and compete in their series, you know? Like, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome for, you know, drifting in BC. That'd be good for the economy or whatever, you know? Like, you know, there's, yeah, that'd be, like, cool. That'd be cool to be, like, a cool destination to come to.
Kevin said, thinking sort of more about it, the Drift Gala in sort of, like, collaboration with BCDA, that's seriously the only way that it can actually sort of happen and have, you know, like, a fucking attendance of sorts. But in my world, that would be like Kevin said, we would pick or invite the people. Basically, we could have, like, a almost like a Jay-Z drift event or a Serial 9, kind of like the Panic event, where it's like you kind of had to buy some shit, you know.
That'd be super sick. Exactly.
Right. Like, so it'd be like a not a themed drift event, but like a, yeah, it's not just like a jumble of fucking shit, you know. It's like a specific event that's a Serial 9 event that was, you know, either Jay-Z powered or Serial 9 affiliated or something. And I think that would be really cool, because then you could have attendance, you could have prizes, you could have all that shit, because people would actually come and watch, and you could advertise it, and it's only an hour away or whatever from the States. So yeah, that'd be pretty sick.
Kevin, you were talking a lot about, well, both of you were talking, I have had no qualms with the BCDA, thought that was, I think everything that you said is bang on. My only thing that I was trying to illustrate was more so,
yeah, no, I know,
making sure, yeah, that there was a thing that was beneficial to Serial 9's time with endeavors, I think, is what my thought was.
Okay.
You know, it's like, you got so much going on your plate, and it's cool to have events and do dope shit. And like, look, nobody wants to see Serial 9 do dope shit as much as I do. But yeah, the same thing. It's like, you got a lot of things going, and like doing dope shit for the sake of doing dope shit doesn't necessarily get your art another BMW or you another Toyota, you know? I would say after all of the things that we talked about, even though I'm not directly correlated to all of them, everything sounds very stressful. All of the yes. stuff that's about to happen. Even the one thing that I'm mildly tied to bringing my car to seems kind of like, it's just like, how do we get that sorted? You know, it's like,
all we want you to do there is film us, man. Like,
no, but if William's car isn't done, which it doesn't seem like it will be, then it fell back to Ryan. And if it falls back to Ryan, then we need to lower his car, change the rear dampers, and give it an alignment.
But I mean, why don't we just not do that? And then, because I mean, did you, Ryan, and you not want to bring your car? And like, why?
It doesn't sound. It doesn't sound like he wants to bring it. No.
Yeah, not like overly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we just like abandon the spot or whatever. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
Because you did say you're like, yeah, my car's not different.
Maybe we can park four cars in five car spots, and then there's more space between each car, and you can actually see each car and take a good photo of each car.
Maybe that's mm-hmm. what it is, man.
Yeah. My car needs the other stuff at some point, too. Realistically, if you look at that, it's like, okay, that means you have to put everything else aside that you're working on mm-hmm. before this. Get my car there in the next
two weeks. For this is like the Blit stays the same.
Right? I mean,
what do you want to do to the Blit?
I did want to have that 509 turbo kit. The but car, like,
the,
I don't.
The 509?
Yeah.
That's dude, why come on. Be realistic, man. Like, you're trying to build this complete other car. I have to put all of the suspension in my car. Like, I don't, like, that's the car you're driving to work every day. You don't have another car.
I mean, if I don't have another car, then I'm not doing it, right? Obviously. But like, if I get another car running, the car stays there. Dustin puts the turbo shit on. It's kind of done. Worst case scenario, put the 409 back on if it doesn't work. But like.
Yeah, but that sounds like a lot of added stress.
Yeah, and like it's we're a car show. You're gonna put you're gonna put the hood down. No one's ever gonna see it. No one's gonna know. It doesn't matter.
All right. Sorry.
That's like it's like you putting the wheels on last time, and then like now, like a year later, you're selling the wheels. No one cared about the wheels. No one saw the car. I cared about
the wheels.
No one saw the car without the wheels. No. Okay. Did it help the company really? Like maybe I don't know.
Does the Blit help the company at all?
Yes.
No. Hopefully, no. Yes.
Yes.
Then why are you putting the 509 on it? Then if it doesn't help,
what's going to help? What's the Blit going to help the turbo? The only thing the fucking Blit kind of is helping with the company is the fucking turbo kit.
I mean, both Carter's car and my car are going to 100% have that turbo kit. So I feel like that helps the company more than that car having the turbo kit, you know, but sure.
All right.
So I wasn't getting the 509R turbo kit. It's just, you know what I mean? Like that's what I bought the fucking first kit for was my car.
Yeah, it just seemed like, I don't know, things change, priorities change. It seemed like it made more sense anyway, but sure, yeah. I mean, sure.
Second
I got that Arctic, I was like, I'm taking this fucking thing off. I was like, I'm either putting the stock one on or fucking getting something else. That's why I got the other manifold.
I thought you were putting the, like, modified 409R on with the Artex so you could take the photos of that. I didn't think you were like,
no, that's what we're doing. Yeah, that
just
is
said the, you're like, putting the 509R before within the next 18 days you're changing your exhaust manifold, turbo, downpipe, retuning the car to go to a car show. I just personally don't understand the logic personally.
It doesn't need to be tuned to go to a car show.
You're going to drive it with a different turbo wastegate exhaust manifold?
It's drivable.
Same tree?
Yeah, all right. I mean,
you're Gerard. You're never going to fucking drive that car without a tune.
Anyways, just
for hang on.
Okay? Like, fuck.
Let's all just consider the following.
It's just Wreckfest all over again. Like,
I don't know what your big deal is about the wheels last year. The wheels are sick. The car was completely fucking different when we went to Wreckfest and all the time after that. The car's been different for an entire year. I know to you that doesn't seem like a long time, but it's in a fucking eternity. Like, it's a fucking
How many events did you take the car to? How many things did...
I went to the NRI thing. I went to Weekfest. Maybe it wasn't four. What was the other thing that I went
What's NRI?
Night Runner thing.
Oh, Night Runner.
And I took one other thing.
I'm not trying to like. I'm not trying to start a fight. I'm just like, it just seems like, it seems like irrational, like work into something that doesn't make sense a bit. Like I'm just.
Here's, can I as a innocent bystander?
I'm gonna shut up now.
As an innocent bystander who has no ties to this, the wheels I will say make sense. You wanted to change the wheels last year because. As far as I know, from all the conversations we've had, the old work wheels, nobody gave a shit about. You wanted a sense of nostalgia tied to this other idea. I think that's great. That works out fine. That is
also
an idea.
Was totally more aggressive with the MAEs on.
Yes.
Totally different car.
Yes, it's great.
We all agree it looked way better. It looked way crazier and cooler.
So
I
that's
agree.
Good. I will say, with the amount of things that need to get done, coming up is Kevin's got to get the GS sorted. So that's going to take some time. That sounds like it's going to be under the wire getting it done, which is going to require a lot of attention. And then your BMW is still not where it needs to be. The Blit. So in order for any of this to work, the BMW has to work. So that's another thing. It's like if your car is running and you have the different wheels on it right now, then that's great. Because I kind of get it. You're not going to be going to that event. You're not going to Weekfest to sell a turbo. Realistically, the turbo should have a video to go with it. It should have a bunch of other shit. You're not selling turbos at Weekfest, I don't think. I could be wrong. Or you could, but they don't even need to be on the car. Like, you could just... have the turbo there as a display.
That's a good idea. We should just bring them and the manifold.
And then you could talk to the people about it, and you could say your car is going to have it, or you could just say your car does have it. Nobody's going to look. Yeah, because it's like all of these, like, I'm opting to not bring my car, one, because I don't really want to drive it, but two, because it's not low enough, and I don't even know how we would find time to get that lower. And then you're putting all this other stuff in like, aside from running a business. So, yeah, I think if the Blit is sorted, I thought the Blit wasn't going to be sorted. When I came onto the podcast tonight, I thought the Blit was, like, out of commission. So, I have video of you last year being, like, I'm kind of nervous to drive this car to Seattle because I just put new wheels on it and I haven't driven it, like, outside of the parking lot. Maybe don't put yourself in that situation again. Be in a situation
that is 100% a Gerard situation.
Literally, driven to California. 100%. That's the situation I'm going to be in going to Weekfest this year.
Yeah, that's a Kevin situation. I've driven to California.
Maybe one car in that situation is better than like three cars in that situation.
Yes,
but I'm just saying we're very, very good at building cars.
I know you are, but
you know what I mean. Like,
I'm also saying I know you are good at building cars. Don't add the stress and undue stress, really, for a thing that isn't going to, like, it's not going to move the needle where you need it to move the needle. It kind of goes back to the BCDA thing that I was saying. It's like, yeah, there's undue stress attached to, like, trying to do everything. You know where your efforts need to go. And I would also argue that maybe the turbo on there for a car show isn't the top priority.
Yeah, but our primary focus there is advertising, right? So, like,
yes.
Let's and honestly, I feel like the turbo on the manifold probably does on the table probably does more advertising than it on the car at the show. But yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do that and then make sure Kevin's car gets done. I'm going to end it on a happy note. Joey wrote in and he said, "Hey, Ryan, I'm a longtime listener of the podcast and first time messenger. Localish to you guys.
Messenger.
Oh, like okay. He's messaging.
He's messaging.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Like first time caller.
Yeah.
Okay. Localish to you guys as I live in Chilliwack and drive a 1JZ Toyota Sorer. Ha ha ha.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
I've been wanting to message for a while and just give props on the podcast. It's by far my favorite podcast I've ever listened to, and you three always are so entertaining. I always look forward to when a new podcast comes out, and I cherish every moment listening to it. I love everything about it, from the low-hanging fruit to Gerard making up movie names he swears he's seen, like Toto's Mile.
Toto's Mile, yeah.
Yeah. You guys changed my outlook on so many things in the car scene and car related. I would also never have expected Gerard to jump over to BMWs, but I totally understand why he did. I really wanted to ask you guys a question in the hope of getting an answer on the podcast, but I couldn't think of anything that hadn't already been answered or sounded stupid. Anyway, great podcast. Keep it up, guys.
Sick. I really like that. That's awesome.
That is the most the nicest, most heartfelt message we've gotten. Yeah. I was like, yo, that almost still feels fake. Like, it's so nice that like Ryan wrote that, you know what I mean? Like,
I would never say anything so nice.
Exactly.
Well, with that, thanks everybody for tuning in and checking us out. I don't know if that's what you say, but here's what I do know. Sounds like we're going to have a busy summer. And Serial 9 will be places. And if we or they are in places where you are, you should come say hi. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, by all means, please feel free to reach out, I guess, to me or Kevin and Gerard. And we'll do our best to field your concerns or questions or comments on the podcast. And check out the website.
And also, if on July 9th you're in the Seattle area, you can come see us at Weekfest Seattle, which is at the Seattle Convention Center. August 31st and September 1st, we'll be at USAIR, International Raceway, in Shawano, Wisconsin. Another point in time, I'm going to be at Oregon Raceway Parkway. And yeah, other events, check the website. We're going to have an event section up on the website by the time you are listening to this. So
That's great. Also, Kevin said listening. July 9th. It's June 9th.
It is June 9th. Sorry. I was trying to like quickly go through my calendar and see all the events.
Don't worry. If you fall, I'll catch you time after time. All right. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye. See you later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Serial Podcast 9.